Blog Talk Radio.
It's that transformation shit, huh? Finally, a nigga on some divine shit.
This the continuation of Lauryn Hill miseducation. With this dissertation, will explain the transformation that's currently taking place all over the world nation. Earthquake hit the Haitians, Japan got radiation. Remind me of Revelation, the weather patterns are changing. Icebergs are sinking, heavy floods when it's raining. Iraq, Iran, lower Mediterranean, all over the planet. People constantly changing, ready for revolution. They know what government doing, except for Americans. We the fattest and most stupid. Most depend on a system that don't give a fuck about them. Fuck a Bush, fuck a Clinton, fuck a Hillary. Can't wait for days, people be like, fuck it, we riot. But this revolution, the evolution that's non-violent. You change your reality when you change your mentality. What you thinking inwardly, you projecting it outwardly. Because we lack the knowledge, we lack the power, that's why we cowardly. And when your heart beats, too much fear is inside it. Too busy worried about these secret societies and the plans being plotted by the global elite. But I know that they sweet, and I know they get scared. Every time they hear this shit, I spit over a beat. Cause 85% of the population ain't no art sleep. We all awake, and there's gonna be more people like me that don't give a fuck about authority. Scared to die hardly, more concerned about the God inside my mind. That's the part of me. I'm like a love soldier in God's army. And I feel bad for anybody who try harm me. I'm spewing the legacy of Elijah Muhammad and Marcus Garvey. But I'ma be a legend like Michael Jackson and Bob Marley. And I don't care if another man kill me and I die early. As long as I song clean up my head, cause I'm mind dirty. And it's that time for it. Time is just a cycle, you can rewind it and fast forward. Life is what you make it, you only get what you ask for. You niggas all these shit, cause you niggas is assholes. And it's ridiculous through a mass flow. They say this shit sounds supernatural. I'm way different than everyone of you wackos. And it's a shame they all sound the same bunch of rap clones. The game is full of lames, no backbones. And I ain't just watching it, I'm taking back that throne. I'm kicking down these niggas' doors like mass tone. And after every track, they be like, you hear that song? Damn, why he had to go and do that song? Went in the booth and like he poop showed his ass off. I just rap from the heart, so I don't know why they mad for. They tell you I'm a hater, they facts wrong. And that's the problem that need to be solved. With chalk and a blackboard. They ask me what I rap for. My rap is for the black balls. I'd rather not be godly, but be a crack lord. For the pretty little bad joint. You only get a man if I ask on. For the man who work his ass off. To barely pay the bills and his life is like a sad song. Cause these cats be making wax songs. I don't even rap no more. My shit more like a black horn. And we've been eating this for mad long. So we can develop a culture with good morals that we can pass on. I know y'all listening like daggone. Quote Niagara Falls with fireballs like a dragon. I'm David slaying Goliath, Zion triumphal with Babylon. Or Adam after ate the apple and God told him that was wrong. I spit that black power shit like I'm Farrakhan. But I'm far from a racist, I got love for everyone. I just know the original man was full of melanin. That absorbed ultraviolet radiation from the sun. Cause during creation I know it had to be hella strong. And you wouldn't be able to survive if you was an Albion. But presently we in a transformation. Beginning of a new cycle and the end of the ages. I'm talking evolution of the creative creation. Right now the population is currently brainless. I'm waiting for that cosmic energy to come and just change shit. And our junk DNA begins to awaken. Until that time comes, I'ma keep making statements. Till my boys come back and grab me up in their spaceship. I hang with the aliens, the face like an ancient. A grand architect, but I'm far from amazing. It's like I'm a part of the Galactical Confederation. The charge is spreading the light all over the nation. And our ancestors on different galaxies are waiting. Hoping the suffering they went through didn't go for nothing. So I'ma keep giving you motivation. That kill your ego and help your soul take over thinking. Cause we've been living a life full of problems with no equation. And all our spiritual intuition seem to be slowly fading. It's like a role reversal, melanated behaving like cavemen. And the cavemen hold the prominent positions all over the planet. Like the Geico commercial perfectly explained it. And our environment helps shape our behavior. It's like if you ain't got shit, then you gonna take it. We ain't never gonna have shit. It's money what they make it. Our best bet is to get in touch with Mother Nature. And tune the earth, constantly connected with the creator.
I sold my soul to the devil. I know it's a crappy deal. You became with a few toys like a Happy Meal.
Hip-hop so fucked up right now, man. Everybody rap about a bunch of bullshit. A lot of these niggas be lying about the shit they talking about. These niggas really puppets. They masters tell them what to do and they just do that shit.
Hey, man, look, when it comes to this shit, I'm like the black rap superhero. These niggas ain't fucking with me, man. I'm the best.
I bet your mom and your girl know. Mad, she like mad, I got this out of this world flow. Dag, these other rappers mad, but I don't care though. They don't compare to him, get shitted on like a scarecrow. And these motherfuckers is weirdos. The music that they make straight hurt my earlobes. I wish I knew a way to make my ears close. I wouldn't have to hear those songs that scare boat. These down south cats rap like handbone. These niggas up north can't make a damn song. But spit for 10 minutes straight, rapping my head off. See what you saying? I don't care, go ahead, dawg. To tell the truth, most these dudes some damn frauds. A bitch at heart, but on these songs so damn hard. Guess in this game, that's what you call playing your damn part. Betray a facade, set it be who you damn are. I ain't lying, for example, look at your man Ross. Acting like he Larry Hoover, the real Ricky or Nicky Barnes. Before he became a star, he was a prison guard. Every day he was hustling, putting niggas in bars. That nigga's a fraud. His jewelry and his nice cars got people confused, thinking he really a boss. But what about your boy Lil Weezy? Kissing on baby, as if he was a lady. And people don't seem to care. To me, that shit is crazy. To call that man your daddy that didn't bust in your mammy. If you was to ask me, I'd tell you that's nasty. And them niggas faggots, so fuck the tough shit they rapping. And your boy Tip, he on that bullshit. X-Con cook with big guns, do a little bit. That don't really make sense. But I don't know him to call him a stone cold snitch. But what I think it is he done stole this shit. To them devils, who own and control this shit. On some Snoop Dogg shit, murder was the case they gave me. Listen to that song, he'll spell it out plainly. Demonic voices in his rapper's head got him going crazy. Ready to kill your mama, listening to Slim Shady. Cause the Eminem of hip hop is like the Eminem of rock. Marilyn Manson is the devil that I'm talking about. And Slim Shady worships Satan, what you forgot? When he was like, there's seven different levels of devil worship and horse ahead. Human sacrifices, cannibalism, candles, and exorcism. Animals having sex with them, camels, mammals, and rabbits. He said he don't get into that, he kicked the habit. But nigga, I know you lying. You battling for Babylon while I'm dropping science design. With the heart of a lion and the wisdom of a prophet. My intuition got me listening to my higher godly conscience. Jigga said he never prayed to God, prayed to John Gotti. That shit crazy. Got me wonder how he could pray to another man, especially in a white body. His name is Record Label after demonic family in Illuminati. Jeezy said, trap or die, niggas dying, why they trapping? Why he living in this mansion, niggas living what he rapping? 50 Cent like the Hulk Hogan it is. Always tongue wrestling rappers for the publicity can get. This whole claim to fame wasn't cause of the man could rhyme. He got all this shine cause he got shot 9 times. These down south rappers just sound so stupid. Can barely talk, just make noises like, oh, let's do it. How about for you to be the most hot out? You gotta sound like a preschool dropout. I'm talking about Waka Flocka, OJ the Juice Man, Soulja Boy Tellerman, retarded ass Gucci Man. They dumbasses whack with they nursery rap. And since we so uneducated, we attracted to that. I listen to they tracks and like, these niggas is really biting. I ain't gonna lie, these niggas sound like 50 types. Even though we got a disability, I fuck with a little homie. Cause autism ain't stopping, he's swagging on the honey. Kanye said Bush don't like black people. Okay, Kanye don't like black women cause he gay. Drake said he the Osiris of this shit right now. You knew Egyptian mythology, you know how stupid that sound. For that clone to compare himself to a god like how that helped cultivate civilizations along the Nile. Niggas really living in denial. If they think the music they listen to don't affect how they living it out. Just like what you put in your mouth affect your body shape. Well, what you put in your brain affect the way you behave. So while you being entertained, the shit that enter your brain go to your subconscious. That controls your heartbeat, the way you breathe, and all other automatic responses. That's why whenever there's problems or conflict, we instantly act like little ghetto devilish monsters. Since our culture is so damn demonic, only shit that we honor is drugs, money, bitches, and violence.
You know, in my...
All right. Can you hear me now? All right, here we go. All right. We're going to go into the true meaning of Christmas and the real origin of Kwanzaa. Apologize for the technical difficulties. I'm glad that you're hanging in there with us. What we're going to get into is the origin of the word Christmas. When we get into Christmas, it's real simple. The word Christ stems from the ancient Kemetic or Tamarian or what is known as Tamarian word, Kress. The word Kress, according to Jerrold Massey's, if you get his book, in particular, Jerrold Massey's Lectures, or his other book, Ancient Egypt, the Light of the World, he specifically speaks about the word Kress means the mummified body of Osar, and is mummified because it's wrapped in bandages, just like the physical body is. Well, the soul is embedded inside of the pineal gland, so therefore, the soul is wrapped around by the bandage known as the pineal, which is the throne of God, or the seat of the Lamb. That's what the soul symbolizes. Now, Kadesh, being that it's tied to Asar, that symbology is that Asar is the sleeping God, the one who needs to be resurrected. Some refer to him as the dead God, because he was cut up into 14 pieces, and one piece in which that was not found was his phallus, in which that the head of the penis is known as the penile, the P-E-N-I-L-E, which happens to be the same sound and also reminiscence to the pineal. All right? And it's a known fact that when a pineal becomes engulfed in blood, it can swell up to the size of a dime, from the size of a grain of rice, or the size of a split pea, hence the term pea brain. But when it becomes engulfed and swell up to the size of a dime, it used to be the size of a quarter. Some even state that it was the size of a silver dollar. And it's set more up towards the top of the head. And this is where the word pineal, stemming from the Latin word pinus, or pine, as in pine tree, comes from. It looks like a pine cone. And hence the pine tree was known as the everlasting tree, because it was evergreen. Hence, the evergreen fern tree is used during Christmas time, symbolic to the resurrection of the phallus, or the activation of the pineal gland, whichever direction was that you take it in. Hence, the symbol of Asar. All right? That's why the star is put on top of the tree, symbolic to the brightest star in the sky, night sky or shadow time, known as Sirius A, which sits directly down from the three stars in Orion's belt. Orion is a Greco-Roman word in which that is derived from the word Uranus, in which that means heaven. So when they say the man up there, or the man in the sky, or whatever term in which that is used, referring to God, they are talking about God in the heavens. They're talking about the Orion constellation. It is there in which that that the origin of life, as far as galactically, stems for us. At least this is what is told to us by the Amazulus, told to us by the Dogon, told to us by the Egyptians, or the Tamarans, or the Tennessees, also referred to as the Tassetians, or the ancient Cushites. This is all within the particular doctrines, even spread it throughout through West Africa, amongst the Yoruba, the Akan, the Ifa, all right, even within Vodun, on across into the Americas through the Olmecs, who's known as the sheep people. This has already been told. So let's not get spooked out about galactical travel and all of that. That's just an aspect of what is referred to as metaphysics, or the Hakka, which are the teachings of Tahuti. That's all it is. Just an aspect. However, the spookism part coming at not being able to explain your own earthly existence. That's the spookism. So, when it comes to these certain words, you have to be able to break them down. So, the word Christ means Kadesh, the mummified body of Osiris or Asar, in which that is symbolic to the soul sleeping within a pineal gland, in which that must be awakened by the Kundalini, which is the symbol of the Holy Spirit, which is Aset, Mary. and Mary becomes awakened through certain positions and rocking of the body, yoga, qigong, tai chi, rakat within Islam, and many different other postures. Within yoga is known as the sun salutation techniques or methods or positions, along with various mudras. These positions are called sutras. Within Islam, they're known as rakats. Now, the word salat within Islam means fire and is a direct, blatant word to mean as kundalini. So when you're performing salat, even within Islam, and you're making those seven postures, those are symbolic or similarity. These have similarities too with the sun salutation yoga techniques or positions or postures. And so therefore, by the moving of the lower back area, it awakens the kundalini from its half sleep state to become more active and travel up through the various chakras known as the seals. And when it reached the last seal of the prophets, hence the title Muhammad, that's what this is all symbolic to, which is the crown chakra. So hence it says within the Nation of Gods and Earth, the 5% teachings of the justice lesson, why must Muhammad or any Muslim murder the devil? And it talks about in there that you will receive free access to see Brother Muhammad in the city, in the holy city of Mecca. That holy city of Mecca is talking about that seven chakra, the kingdom, all right, the dome of the head, the Godhead. That's what that is referring to. So when you break down the word Quraysh, it's talking about, in essence, awakening the sleeping giant known as Asar. All right, that's what is the Bible, in a sense, speaks about the Nephilims. When it speaks about the giants roam the land, it's talking about your genius, mental giants, actually. Not just giants on which that once did walk the planet Earth that stood 36 feet tall. Or 25 feet tall, or 18 feet tall, or 12 feet tall, or 9 feet tall, or 7 feet tall, as some still do today. Of course, that was back over 65 million years ago, during the time of the dinosaurs, because we have been on this planet, at least according to forbidden archaeology, 2.8 billion years. Billion, not million. So, that is the science of the word Christ. Now, when you get to the word mess is derived from the word miss, M-E-S, which is a mental netter, or what is known as the hieroglyphics, or what is also referred to as ancient Sumerian word. The word mess is short for messenger or messiah. All right? You might have seen the hieroglyphics or metuneta in which that you have Tahuti on one side and Heru on the other side and an individual standing in the center, and the fat of the crocodile is being poured over top of the head and is making a shape like around the auric fill of the individual, which stands about 3 feet out from for the average person. But they are being anointed as a messiah. So even a person who becomes a messenger or messiah, the anointing comes from the crocodile fat of the netter called Sebek, who symbolizes that crocodile. That's what that is. That's why you see Heru, the babe, hence Jesus the babe, standing on top of the crocodile, symbolic to that particular anointing. That crocodile is also symbolic to an aspect of the soul, in which that the crocodile fat is talking about the excretions or the precursors to the melanin, which is actually the soul principle, in which that is based on carbon and is forever changing. This is why they can't get a hand on it specifically. But they utilize the precursors, which is melatonin and serotonin. The reason why they can't get a hook on melanin itself is because it has its own genetic structure and it changes, especially when looked under a microscope. So it can never become defined. It's forever changing. So the melatonin and serotonin, in which that is excreted from the pineal gland, is utilized. Melatonin is utilized in the body between the hours of 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. in the morning, and serotonin is utilized from 7 a.m. in the morning to 11 p.m. at night. And so meth symbolizes the excretion of these particular chemicals. And one chemical in particular called DMT, all right, dimethylene, for the short terminology, thyramine, which basically deals with a chemical in which that is excreted normally, as is stated. It's known as the DMT molecule, or what is known as the molecule of life. Is also another name is the Anpu or Anubis molecule. But this molecule is supposedly only produced during the time of birth and during the time of death. But we know through heavy meditations, through bringing in more prana or chi or ki energy, you can also activate and stimulate the process known as the DMT. All right? While you're living and not having to wait till death. So, meth symbolizes being able to produce that particular chemical. And, of course, there's certain herbs that you can utilize in order to help with that production. The herbs is ginseng, guadacola, ginkgo biloba. There's also mushrooms, which that can be used. One in particular grows within the dung of cows, and is red and white. And also the Tabanathi Ibuga plant from West Africa, in which that after drinking just a cup, they say is 70 times more potent than marijuana. And just from drinking one cup can actually produce out-of-body experiences or astral travel and projection. So there's several things in which that can be utilized to make these, to make you become a mess or messiah or messenger. In other words, the messages, or the reason why you might be called a messenger or mess, is because you are actually carrying communication from the spiritual world to the earthly plane. So therefore, that's actually what that is symbolic to. So during this time period, we know that the sun is the lowest in the sky, and Jupiter is more prevalent during this time period. And Jupiter within astrology is known as the planet of gifts and benevolence. And the sun being the closest to us during this time period in the sky, and being at its lowest point, that lowest point is known as the tomb or the womb. So 3 days and three nights, the sun stands still. That's why it's known as the winter solstice. The word solstice means the day the sun stands still, or the day of standing. So the sun is still within that position for 3 days and three nights, hence symbolically dead in the tomb or in the sepulchre, just like it says of Jesus within your Bible. Or as it is stated within Heru, within the ancient Kemetic or Tamaran text, known as Behem Heru, also referred to the evolution and the rise of Ra. Hence, actually, is where the Holy Bible comes from. The word holy stems from the word helios, or halo, or heru, which is heru, and the word Bible from the word papyrus, or biblios, I should say, and then papyrus, and then papyra. So, heru, paper. Heru papers. That's what the Bible is. It's Heru's papers, or the Ra papyrus. The books of Ra, or the books of Heru. That's what is told by utilizing the word Holy Bible. But of course, people get caught up within the Latin and don't take it further back. Of course, we will have to do that with all of the languages, being that we have the oldest and the highest civilization, at least documented, we have found there on the Giza Plateau. Not that there are not other pyramids. Of course, we know there are hundreds and thousands of pyramids and mounds around the world. However, the writing on the wall, or what is written in stone, as they would say, the handwriting is on the walls, as the biblical Bible states. And so, therefore, we can utilize that as far as a language or dialect, as well as also symbology, representation, and the fact that the hieroglyphics or Metuneta has various levels or modes or schemes or patterns dealing from morality to spirituality or esoteric teachings and astrology. So there's many levels to this information. It's not just one. But people get caught up within that and they begin to start focusing, and therefore they become linear thinkers, and they believe that they have the truth, when actually the principles are supposed to be holistic. We're supposed to tie all of this information together. And it doesn't matter if it happened here in the Americas or if it happened in Africa. Because those are land masses. We're talking about the people we actually derive from. It derived from the people minds, from their archetypes, their mental archetypes. And the oldest people on the face of the planet is known as the Twa people, who was the first to enter into Egypt, and who actually built the pyramids along with their children, the Nubians, or Kushites, which is now Ethiopians. And so, this was built all over the world, the particular pyramids. As we know, these mounds. So we are the builders, all the great architects of the planet. So hence the word mess, once again, meaning as also master builder. So when you actually dealing with Chris Mess, you talk about the resurrection of the soul and you connecting with your higher self, and with that higher connection, you're actually being able to pull down information from the Akashic records, which are hence the messages in which that we need to put the pieces of the puzzle together, and you as that messenger, you pass this information on to others. Within the New Age, is known as channeling. But we see that some channels are not always accurate. Also, there's a such thing as the monad, in which that can tap into the oversoul, which is actually your personal oversoul, in which that is a collection of your past lives. Now, you have access to that oversoul or to those particular Akashic records or that universal library of those particular past lives, and that is located in your medulla oblongata, which is at the back of the head. And the Qigong masters, Tibetan masters, and etc., the monks, whether it's from yoga to Tibet to Buddhist to Taoist they would tap at the back of the head in order to scar that particular area, known as the medulla oblongata. And by doing so, they develop photographic memory, as well as also access to their personal Akashic records. This is why, in people who have split personalities, they can actually learn a language or have a language in which that they never was taught. A person speaking Russian, but never been to Russia, you know, or whatever the case is, because that information is also tied in through the DNA, which actually are your collective ancestors, in which that you are a concentration of on seven generations on your father's side and seven generations on your mother's side. So when we're dealing with Christmas, you're talking about something in which that goes deeper than just the literal aspect of just a tree and the lights on the tree. The lights on the tree symbolizes the stars up in the sky. As we said, the stars put on the top because it symbolizes the star Sirius, as in Sirius A, the sun behind our sun, as it is known as. As a matter of fact, right now there's two suns in the sky from a lot of reports, and that second sun is actually Sirius C, which is called Emiya. And also, they claim that it is also Betelgeuse from the Orion constellation, in which that has exploded or became a supernova. And they say that this energy will be with us for quite some time. But if you go to the occult teachings of the Theosophical Society, the Anthroposophical Society, the Rosicrucians, they speak about a sun behind the sun. That is even mentioned within Masonry or Freemasonry. This sun behind the sun, like I said, is actually Sirius C, Emiya, which is Zachariah Ascension, referred to it as the planet of the crossing, known as Nibiru. But you have Nibiru actually within inside of you. If you go to Nutricides by Africa, by Layla Africa, all right, Imhotep, on page 15, numeral, Roman numeral XV, you will see the brain blown up to the equivalent size of a car. And over top of the pineal gland is a galaxy-like cloud that actually looks like a UFO. And this is in your brain. And what happens is that when that kundalini energy comes up and it awakens or saw, it beams up into that particular galaxy-like cloud in which that is the eye of Heru. So now the soul has awoken and has risen or resurrected at that 90-degree perpendicular level. And is no more plagued and no longer plagued by the three ruffians, in which that symbolizes lust, greed, and jealousy, or hatred, or symbolic also to the three lower chakras, the three ruffians. But then another tells it the 72 thieves. All right, 7 and 2 equals 9, and of course 3 times 3 equals 9, so it goes back to 3 again. So all of this is talking about that same thing. All right, so also that correlates to the 72 degrees within the zodiac, in between the 5 points, in which that makes up 360 degrees. Hence the zodiac itself, the great year, in which that we're now moving into. And of course, this particular year is special because of the Mayan calendar, actually known as the Olmec or Xi calendar, in which that is the Olmecs actually are the Dogon people, the Mandis or the Mandingo people, which is actually part of the family line of the Dogon. And the Dogon are the astrologers of ancient Egypt, in which that they left Egypt or Tamaré around 8,000 years ago or 6,000 BC, because they knew of the coming prophecies of the invasion to the planet. And so they left, and along with them, their knowledge of that priesthood. And so that information came here to the Americas, in which that the Olmecs have been here for at least, according to scientists, 5,000 years. Of course, we know that they've been here longer because we have documentation of the fossils being in Arizona 75,000 years ago, the Washitoa being in the Americas over 100,000 years ago, the Twa people being here in the Western Hemisphere 2 million years ago, and the books you can get for that is The Children of Mu by James Churchward, and According to Forbidden Archaeology by Michael Creedmore, humanoids or human beings have been here within the Western Hemisphere 600 million years ago, before the continental drift, which occurred, according to scientists, 200 million years ago. So man did walk, indeed, with the dinosaur, if the dinosaurs existed at all. I let y'all go and do research on that. But based on what we've been told, the dinosaurs did not disappear until 65,000 years ago, based on meteorite showers coming in which that caused dust to form around particular portions of the planet, in which that drove the people underneath waterfalls and down into the earth in order to survive with the destruction of the dinosaurs. This is at least what it said. And you can get that information from many scientific, many scientist reports. You can read the Scientific American magazine. You can actually read the information within your high school books, and which that you had within geography. It is all in there. Or either in college in anthropology class, they speak about it, with the so-called evolution of man. So all of this information, it ties back to the actual signs of Christmas. And like we said, the sun is at its lowest point, and 9 months later is born again within the month of September, which is Virgo, in which that is the Virgin. So hence Mary, the Virgin. So every 9 months, it is born again. And of course, nine symbolizes completion. So this is what all of this actually represents in that regard. All right. So when we're talking about the winter solstice, that's the reason for the fascination around December the 25th, is because that's the day in which that the sun begins its journey back to ascend back into the sky. This is symbolic too, of course, in the Bible, where it says Jesus ascended to the right hand side of his Father in heaven. It's talking about the sun rising to its apex once again, as it's on its journey from December to spring, what is known as the Passover, to the summer. So from winter, the spring, the summer. And the summer, of course, it reaches apex. All right? And that's around the month of June, around June 23rd. So therefore, we're looking at the resurrection of the sun up in the sky, which is known as the Son of God, because the sun is the physical manifestation of God. It's not God itself, all right? But it symbolizes the aspect of the solar principle, in which that is symbolic to the soul of Ra within you, which is embedded inside of your pineal gland, in which that awaits for his bride to resurrect him to a 90-degree perpendicular level to become Heru, or the Christ, or Kress. The soul, actually, from outside of the mummified wraps, known as the pineal gland. So this is what all this is actually talking about. We've been duped into thinking that it's just talking about a fat white man coming down your chimney or coming through your window to steal your cookies and your milk and leave you some gifts in return or stuff your little stockings. This is what we, have thought. You know, Santa itself symbolizes Satan in regard of astrological events known as Saturn, the planet, the black planet. All right? Now, there's many characters dealing with Santa. We know so-called Santa Claus actually was, based on all accounts, a Moor, actually. And you can go do your research on that. But outside of that, it was dealing with astrological events. Of course, Saturn symbolizes the planet in which that influenced the structure of the human body, in particular, the most dense portion of your body known as your bone structure, 206 bones. This is where the story of Enoch comes from. When you read the book of Enoch, and it speaks about specifically 200 fallen angels were on the planet Saturn before they came to the planet Earth. And 10 was there prior, and 10 of the fallen angels was there prior to the 200 fallen angels, and which that is known as a third of heaven leaving with Iblis within the within al-Islam, within the Holy Quran. All right, but you get the book of Enoch. It speaks about specifically Azazel. All right, so approximately 210 angels, fallen angels, a third of heaven, was cast out. And that's symbolic to actually the most dense portion of your body, about 206 to 210 bones, as they would say, is what formed your skeleton system. And Saturn happens astrologically to be the influence over that. It is also the influence over your DNA, as well as also your blood. All right? Now, that's what Santa symbolizes. Saturn also, or Satan, or Santa, being that it's red, and as regards Santa or Satan, being that it's red, it symbolizes the lower nature, or in particular, the lowest chakra, which is red, in which that lowest chakra, which is the slowest spectrum of light in the visible spectrum, is what actually formed your physical body into existence. Okay? So, you can't be mad at Santa, you know, because even the ancients believed that the body was the temple of God. And for God to know itself, it had to form something physical, tangible, so that it can be relayed back to the intangible or the invisible. And so the whole reason why you are here in the physical is to actually spiritualize the matter, the flesh, the body. In other words, to have to quicken it. And there's no better time now to quicken, based on the fact of the dark matter coming in into this atmosphere, based on the galactical alignment in which that has occurred or is occurring. If y'all had telescopes, or if y'all was actually paying attention to the sky, y'all would see that particular planets was aligning. Saturn was one of those planets. Mars, Mercury, the Earth, Jupiter, and it was aligning with the Sun, along with the Pleiades or Alcyon, the central or galactical sun, which is thousands of times larger than our sun. So, this is actually what took place this particular Christmas. All right? Something much deeper than just buying gifts for your children or receiving or eating or sitting down and eating a turkey meal, you know, with cranberry sauce and all the stuffing and collard greens, you know. It went a little bit deeper than that this time around. So, that is dealing with the true origin of Christmas, you know. And when you go and look at the connections in which that has astrologically, they're unmistaken. If you go look at the ancient Egyptian philosophy, and a good book for that is Egyptian Yoga, Volume 1 and 2 by Dr. Muwatta Ashby. Okay? So you'll definitely need to go check that out. All right, so I'm going to go to the phone lines before I come back in order to break down the second part, the real origin of Kwanzaa, because we're going to get more into conspiracy theories. But let me go to 757, area code 757, you're on the line.
Peace, fam.
Peace.
How you doing, man?
Doing good, God.
I'm glad to hear you. Glad to hear that you were speaking about doing some channeling earlier.
Right.
Well, I did some channeling before the show, and it woke me up and pretty much told me to call.
Oh,
and
right.
One on the line.
Right.
And I was told to introduce myself as Solar Moon.
All right.
And I'm trying to plug into the network and communicate with the brothers. I'm here in Virginia. Trying to put Virginia on the map.
All right.
We're going to try to take this thing and do what we got to do. I also, it was interesting you just talked about the, when they misinterpreted the interpretation of the December 25th thing.
Right.
It's interesting that everything that you've been talking about, I've been channeling for the last little bit of time. And I resurrected at the same time that all this shit was going on.
Right.
Every last bit of it.
Got you. All right, y'all heard that? Take that into consideration, because there is a science to channeling, and we are the best at doing it. It's known as becoming a medium, whether it's for things in the past, present, or future. We can see all timelines. So you must activate and awaken your pineal gland in order to give you access. That's why it's known as the all-seeing eye or the seeing all eye, is because it can see into all of the particular past, present, and future, all the timelines. So it must be activated in order to do what the brother is talking about. Thanks, I. All right. So let's go to... Area code 314, you're on the line. Peace.
Yeah, this is Brother Terminal Hill out of Missouri Public.
Yes, greetings, sir, Brother
Hill. Yes, sir, but I'm fine. Brother, how are you?
Doing well.
All right. Yes, sir, but I was listening to the what you were saying about the cranberry sauce and the dressing and turkey. You said that was, how was that related to Christmas, you were saying?
Nah, well, you know, the turkey itself was something in which that symbolized the Turks in that regard, and carving up the Turks. In other words, the land of the Turks, in which that the original Turks, according to J.A. Rogers, Sex and Race, Volume 1, as well as also what they never told you in history class, the original Turks were, you know, the so-called blacks, in which that came from out of Africa, in particular from Ethiopia, as they came from the Saudi Arabian Peninsula, or the Hijaz. Peninsula on across into Turkey. So when you go and do your research, you'll find that out. And of course, matter of fact, there's a song in which that you can listen to. It's known as I think it's called The Threat. It's by Razzcast, Brother Razzcast, and Nature of a Threat. That was the name of it. Nature of a Threat. So when you go and check that out, you will see, you know, that's what that was actually symbolic to. You know, we're talking about symbology. We're not talking about actuality. When we're talking about symbology, we're looking at the way in which that the word turkey itself, whether it's from the area now known as Turkey, or whether it's the bird in which that is known as turkey, you know, these words have origins, and the root to both words is the word Turk, you know.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, so this is where that comes from. And also, when you're talking about Jesus, you know, because, you know, Christians would, you know, love to throw Jesus up into that particular scenario. But Jesus actually is symbolic to also, you know, which is which within his resurrected state is Heru.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you go and do your research on Jesus, you will find that Jesus supposedly was made by the Nicene Council by Constantine, who actually took over the area known as Turkey, where Turkey is now, and it was known as now known as the capital or the city of Istanbul.
Right.
He named it after himself, called Constantinople. You know, and you will find that with him bringing the 319 bishops, and one of the bishops was excommunicated, who was known as Arian. There was 318 bishops, and these bishops decided on a made creature. Now you can get this, get several books on that. One in particular is by The Historical Origin of Christianity by Walter Williams, Professor Walter Williams. You know, in particular. You can get another one called What They Never Told You in History Class by Endochemic Kush,
mm-hmm.
in which that speaks about it. All right? So, when we're talking about Jesus, it has its ancient comedic roots. As a matter of fact, when you look at Jesus in Aramaic, which is Old Hebrew, the name means Yahshua. And Yahshua, all right, means He who saves, or the Lord of salvation.
Okay.
But when you go back to ancient Egypt, the derivative of Yahshua is actually the first begotten son, or the only begotten son of Atum, by the name of Shu, which is the netter, or the personification of air. This is why Jesus is known as, within the book of John, as the Word made flesh, or within the Old Testament, the breath of life. God breathed into the nostrils of man and made man a living soul. He's talking about the breath itself. So Jesus actually symbolizes the breath, in which that the breath is what actually composes or holds the physical composition of the human body together. Insulation and exhalation. In other words, centripetal and centrifugal force. Push and pull. Yin and yang. Male and female. These particular polarities is what holds the physical body together, the physical structure together. This is why at birth, you what? Inhale
mm-hmm.
when you're smacked on the behind by the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
In death, you exhale because there's a release. So inhale, there's a drawing in. Exhale, there's a release.
Wow.
Push
okay.
and pull. You know, the pull and push factor, I should say. So this is what holds the physical composition together. You know, so this is what people don't understand. And of course, when you go to the Bible in the book of Job, it speaks about these particular constellations. Orion is one of them, but the South Chamber is actually is the star constellation Sirius, or Sirius A, B, C. You know, some say there's a D. C was just found in 1995, and like we said, now it's passing. Near our solar system, in which that it only passes through here every 3,600 years. So we have a lot of phenomena in which that is taking place right now. You know, but, you know, back to the Jesus thing. So this is actually the real meaning of Jesus in that regard. It don't have nothing to do with a personification of one man or a man who came 2,000 years ago, in particular, not a white man. You know, or the drawing in which that we, or the painting in which that we've been used to.
Right.
You know, which is actually was a painting drawn by Leonardo da Vinci from a contest in which he beat out Michelangelo to actually paint Cesare Bonnier, who's the son of the Pope. You know, who's the son of the Pope? I think Alexander. You know, so. You know, this is what people don't realize. You know, there's a lot when it comes to breaking this information down. You know, and it goes outside of the emotions. You know, it has nothing to
right.
do with the emotions whatsoever. This has to do with facts. You know, factology. You know, the study of facts.
Right.
You know, so this is just, you know, the real science behind all of this and, you know, what is really going on. You know, of course there's more. You know, I can't give everything,
right.
you know, within
right.
2 hours. But I try
right.
to get as much, you know, as I possibly can in so
right.
they can go back and do their own research and see how true what I'm saying, you know, everything is.
Right.
You know, and so when people find out, you know, come back to me and tell me.
Right.
You know, that's what, you know, hundreds and thousands of other people have done over the 20 years in which that I've been teaching all this information.
Right.
You know, because before we had the internet, you know, became, you know, before it became popular in the household, you know, name, you know, we had to read hundreds and thousands of books.
Definitely.
You know, that's how I ended up getting, that's how I got my information from the age of 9, you know, to, you know, 19, you know, till I was around almost 30 years old.
Right. Yeah, right.
You know. Yeah, you know, when I was almost 30 years old, so from age of 9 to 30, I had to read hundreds and thousands of books. I didn't get this information from just off the internet, you know.
Huh.
And that's, you know, that's some of the problem right there, is that a lot of people depend on just the internet research, you know. Go and read the books, because the books, you know, give up more details than what you're getting on the internet. You might get a sentence or a phrase or a paragraph, you know, and sometimes you can get PDFs with the whole books, and that's good too, you know. But there's a good website that you can go to called the Knights of Imhotep, you know, www.knightsofimhotep, that's KNIGHTS, Imhotep, imhotep.com. And that's an excellent website to go to.
Okay.
Right. There was no internet before 1992, as far as in the colleges or in schools. I mean, there was computers, but it was no internet. You know, that did not become a household thing until around 1998.
You know,
so this is what people don't understand, you know, that anyone who was prior to that, you know, had to read, you know, to get this information, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of books, you know. So when people go and do their research, you know, they'll find out what's true or not. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
that's what I can
mm-hmm.
say about it.
Right.
You know, and so what we're going to do, you can stay on, brother, and you can join me. I'm going to get into the Kwanzaa information.
Okay.
Hopefully I answered most of the questions about the Christmas thing. If not, hit me up in the chat room or hit me up online. I'm here, and if you want me to go more in-depth about the Christmas thing, you know, or whatever the case is, you know,
yeah,
hit me up.
I was talking to a brother, Yada. We were talking about, it was about, actually, most people don't know, is about the Son.
Right.
You know, about the Son is the Savior.
Well, the Son is the giver of light. So just like Jesus is said to be the giver of all the light of the world. You know, that's what that is symbolic to. The light, actually, if you go to Matthew's, the 6th chapter, the 22nd verse, and I don't like being religious because I'm not, but I'm metaphysical, so I utilize scriptures in order to help convey the teachings or the Hakka, which are the teachings of Tahuti.
Okay.
So we can get back in tune or in line with his consort, a cohort, which is consort, which is actually Mayat, so we can get back in balance. But in Matthew, the 6th chapter, 22nd verse, it says, if the eye be single, the whole body will be filled with light. The eye be single. The one eye be single. So that is either the Greek or the Minoan Greek symbol of Cyclops, which is the one-eyed monster, or is actually symbolic to your one eye, which is your third eye, which sits in the center between your two eyes and your brain, in which their scientists have actually done the research and study. And it actually is an eye.
Okay.
But
yeah.
around this eye, it has over 144,000, it has 144,000 lenses, or what is known as sand-like particles, crystal-like particles, which are magnetic, which that sits around it.
Yeah, we're talking
so
about
when you go to your Bible, and it speaks about the 144,000, and it speaks about the 24 elders around the throne of God, you know, and the throne of God, and on this throne, is known as the lamb. The lamb is the soul embedded inside of the pineal gland itself. And the 24 elders are the 12 pair of cranial nerves that sits around the pineal gland in a circle, just like King Arthur and his 12 knights, just like Jesus and his 12 disciples, just like the sun and his 12 zodiac signs, along with his 12 planets or objects within the solar system.
Right.
You know, so this is actually what this is actually, you know, this is what this really means. You know, people don't realize the symbology and how much, you know, this in depth, how much this is, you know, goes into. You know, because they are so linear. They only use 10% of their brain. They can't see the holistic value in this.
No.
You know,
can't.
And because of that, they can't connect the pieces. You know, connecting the pieces come through heavy meditation. Connecting the pieces comes through you working what is called Qigong, Tai Chi, because you're bringing in more energy. The more energy you bring in and being able to store within your body, the more keys and puzzles that you're able to break through when it comes to the nonsense upon planet Earth, because you'll be able to pierce through the veil of the illusion. You'll be able to pierce through the matrix. The matrix will no longer have you. And this is what this really means. You know, so... You know, just think about it. You remove the sun. I mean, what do you have?
Right. We were thinking that why a lot of people were going at it during this season, because it deals a lot of with the energy of the sun has an effect on the population. Do you agree
right.
with that?
And see, like I said, is a known fact within astronomy that the sun is the closest to the planet Earth during this time period, during the winter solstice. But the reason why it don't give off all the heat that it needs to during the winter solstice is because it is tilted. Or I should say the planet is tilted at 23.5 degrees and it wobbles on its axis.
Uh-huh.
So it gives us the illusion of various seasons, in particular four seasons, known as summer, winter, spring, and fall, or autumn.
Okay.
You know. And, of course, you know, those four seasons is based on the four sons of Heru within the ancient Kemetic or Tamarain or, you know, Egyptian texts or the Pehem Heru Sut. It is also based on the four elements, earth, air, water, and fire, in which that when it combined makes ether. You know, so all of this is, you know, is symbolic to all of this. Also based on the four amino acids in which that forms the physical body known as the building blocks of life.
All right.
You know, so, you know, we're not playing with this information. You know, people think this shit is a joke, but you're talking about your soul here.
Uh-huh. Right.
That's what we do know, you know. We do know that. You know, we know within all the monotheistic belief systems, the soul is what is really being talked about, you know. And if the soul inhibits the physical body, the soul then must be God, because it says that God dwells within the temple in which that he made. He don't dwell in a temple made by man's hands. So he do not dwell in a temple or a mosque or a synagogue or a church. He dwells in his temple, the physical body, the human body, the human anatomy, the human structure. You know?
Yes, sir.
So this is what people are... continuously mistaken, so therefore they have a tendency of worshiping something outside of themselves. So when they get down on their knees and pray, whether they're Christian, Muslim, or Jew, they have a tendency of thinking God is something outside of themselves that they can never get to. So they're always in search of it. So they never find themselves, nor their soul, nor their God.
Oh, okay.
Because it's only when they find their God that they will realize that God is within. It is at that point when you have found God. Because when you found God and know that God is within, then you know that everything else without is an illusion.
Right.
And that's what is shown within the movie Matrix.
Right, it sure does.
You know, so let me get into this information here about the Kwanzaa, because you know, a lot of people know about how it was created, you know, some 40 years ago, you know, actually in Southern California, Ron Everett, you know, also assumed name is Milana Karenga or Ron Karenga, you know,
right.
or Dr. Milana Karenga.
Mm-hmm.
He was the founder of United Slaves, or what is called US, or US. And they was a rival to the Black Panthers. And truthfully, I think they was duped into becoming FBI informants or doing activities under the FBI.
Yes, I was told that. I've followed that. And people have been telling me about Ron Karenga supposedly be an agent himself.
Right. Well, that's the reason, because they said that he's an FBI informant or agent, based on many of the reports on which they have come back, me being a former writer for the magazine Frontline,
uh-huh.
which that the editor is Marcus Klein. He's no longer doing it, but you can still get back issues from him. But he specifically states that Milana Karenga was an FBI agent or informant, you know, because when you look at it, the feud, you know, between both rivals, between the Black Panthers and the United Slaves, or US, that was fueled by the FBI in a sense, because Milana Karenga's group, United Slaves, shot to death, you know, Black Panthers, Al Bunchy Carter.
Huh.
Deputy Minister John Huggins on the UCLA campus.
Huh. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, yeah. John Jerome Huggins was only 23, and Al Prentice Bunchy Carter was 26.
Man.
And it actually happened. It said after the meeting of the two Panthers, they was met in the hallway by two brothers who was members of the U.S. The guy named was George P. and Larry Joseph Steiner. And Steiner pulled out the pistol and shot the two Panthers dead.
Wow.
Yeah. And Milana Karenga, known as Ron Everett, you know, he went to jail.
I didn't hear that part. I sure haven't.
Yeah, that's what happened.
So they're doing the devil's work for him.
Right. So, you know, they was a group, you know, US, you know, United Slaves, you know, they was a so-called fascist group in which that walked around with dashikis on, you know, and they adopted African names, you know, from like Swahili, you know. As a matter of fact, Ron Everett or Milana Karenga, knowing Milana, you know, means master teacher within Swahili, but he was born on a poultry farm in Maryland, you know, and he was the 14th child of a Baptist minister. You know, and he came, you know, he went to California in the late 1950s and attended Los Angeles Community College. And he moved on to UCLA, where he got a master's degree in political science and African studies.
Mm-hmm.
And by the mid-1960s, he had established himself as the leader of what is known as a cultural nationalist.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a term in which that has some meaning in the 1960s. And that was actually a way of distinguishing Milana Karenga's group or followers from the Black Panthers, who was, the Black Panthers, you know, they follow the Marx, or Marx, you know, Karl Marx or the Marxist teaching.
Right.
You know. What happens is actually, we know how the Illuminati does. They fund both organizations. That's what they've always done.
And had them warring against each other.
Yeah, yeah. The shooting took place, like we said, of Al Prentice, Bunchy Carter, and John Jerome Huggins, was because they supposedly had dissed Milana Karenga. And so the guys came back, George P. and Larry Joseph Steiner came back in order to, to get at him.
Huh.
You know, and so that's how that, you know, all took place. You know, so there's a lot of things going on. So, you know, of course, being that Quran, you know, Maulana Karanga is chiefly, you know, the so-called inventor of Kwanzaa, you know, a so-called African holiday in which they, you know, he put together in 1966. You know, all of that is based on, you know, the workings, you know, of what they call Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa, of course, means first fruit within Swahili. And it's celebrated, of course, through now December the 26th through January the 1st. And it competes with Christmas and Hanukkah, you know. You know, actually while incorporating some of the echoes of both, gift-giving and, you know, ceremonies built around a seven-hold candle holder, you know, that, you know, within Judaism, you know, it's called the seven branches of menorah.
Yeah, when I first heard about Kwanzaa, I actually thought it was a really organic to the the African tradition when I first heard of it. And then when I later found out through study and investigation, found out that it wasn't. You know,
right.
Something
well,
that Karanga had made up.
We know that there's no fruit, you know, there's no first fruit, you know, or fruits in which that is grown within the winter time. You know, the holiday, you know, known as Kwanzaa, you know, came from the Swahili phrase Mutuna ya Kwanzaa, which means first fruit. But traditionally, Africans have celebrated the first fruit or the first harvest, you know, of the year, but it's not during the wintertime.
Right, okay.
You know, so, you know, he used it as a political move, you know, actually, you know, to upsert Christmas, you know, and so forth and so on, to give, you know, blacks something of their own as compared to, you know, white Christmas of us looking at, you know, Santa Claus coming down the chimney and tree and, you know, and like I said, you know, to stuff your stockings and all that good stuff and drink your milk and eat your cookies. You know, so the seven symbols of Kwanzaa, of course, you know, you have a straw placement. You have a candle holder, you know, three red, three green, and one black candle, and which that, of course, is symbolic, too, the red, black, and green, the colors of nationalism, the colors of Marcus Garvey's flag, the colors of actually on the walls of ancient Kemet, which that symbolizes the resurrection or life. You have the fruit, corn, and, of course, corn. I don't know why corn is used, because corn actually... maize, as we refer to it as, actually comes from the Americas. It was not known within Africa, so that is another problem with that. But of course, gifts and a communal unity cap. You know, of course, you know, maybe those who study the Kwanzaa thing and they actually have, you know, their, you know, celebrations. They normally have it between now and January the 1st, of course. So with these symbols, Kwanzaa, you know, observers consider it Guso Samba, which are the seven principles of the holiday: unity, self-determination, collective work, responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creative, and faith. Which these are good purpose, you know, these are good principles. You know, I'm not dissing that, you know what I'm saying? But I'm questioning, you know, the motive behind it, in a sense, because of the affiliation and because of some historical things, you know, such as the FBI involvement within us, the death of the Black Panther, of two of the Black Panthers specifically, and it's more, you know, that I can go into, but this is at least the two that you can definitely go and do research on. Mm-hmm. But, of course, the first day, December the 26th, is Umoja or Unity, so that was yesterday. Today is the second day, which is self-determination of Chakakulia. The third day is Ujima, collective work and responsibility, which is tomorrow. The fourth day, December the 29th, is Ujamaa, cooperative economics. December the 30th is Nia, purpose. December the 31st is Kumba, creativity, and January the 1st is Imani, faith. So these are some good sciences you know, so we can definitely deal with that. And I think that's the reason why a lot of people have dealt with it, is because of the principles and because of, you know, the good science behind it as far as that is concerned. You know, but when you read about the origin of Kwanzaa being the first harvest celebration of Africa, you know, which is allegedly, you know, a record in African history as far back as ancient Egypt and Nubia, but there's no explanation of why any ancient Egyptian or Nubian might have held, I guess, a harvest festival around the time of the winter solstice.
Okay.
And there is no identification of the crops that they harvest. You know,
okay.
Like I said, the Karenga's formula for celebrating Kwanzaa requires the use of 2 ears of maize or corn. And but maize is a New World plant. It was not known in at all in ancient Africa.
Okay.
You know? So, you know, that is, you know, some of the problems once again, you know, with that. You know, so if there's any questions concerning anything which I've said so far, check me out. We got another caller here. Hold on, brother.
Okay.
Area code 314. Area code 314. You're on the line.
Yeah, it's Bianchi. How you doing?
All right, peace.
Now, you know, you was mentioning about the, I hear this argument about Kwanzaa all the time, about what it is and what it is, but a group of people have a right to draw up an occasion and
no
refer
doubt.
To your occasion and celebrate it in any manner that, by which they wish,
wow.
Especially when they do it voluntarily.
Right.
In opposition here in Western society, many of the things that we celebrate was brought upon because of some force introduction. You know, if you go to Brazil, you there in their culture has already some established procedures and principles that you either participate in or you don't, but you don't ridicule. And
right.
You sure don't try to tear it down. So Kwanzaa is well worth the effort and the idea. But, you know, you talk about historically, when you apply 7 days, as I mentioned in the chat room, when they started applying 7 days to celebration, that's very recent because in Nile Valley society, they had 10-day calendars.
Right.
During that time. And people don't, you know, don't think. I had to do the traveling in order to connect all these pieces you mentioned before that you studied out of books. That was the only way we had. There wasn't no such thing called no internet back in those days.
Exactly.
Cell phones.
Right.
Hey, didn't even have no word processors.
Exactly.
I remember the first word processor.
Right. We were still using typewriters.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
And, you know, another point, too, and when you start going around these people, I just came back from the bush over there in the Ashanti region in Ghana. And you start seeing people still are using many of these sayings, many of these ahas and so on today that we read about, I think, that was only associated with a particular literature book that they called the Day Bibles and so on and so on. But that story about Adam and Eve, about the tree, that comes from the acacia tree, which is well known in Nile Valley and along the Nile River, where its fruits and leaves have medicinal properties.
Right.
And you can even go into the temple of Isis and you can see Shishak feeding the Sutan, the king, sitting on the throne. She's feeding him from the acacia tree, giving him life. And funny thing about that tree, whenever it's taken and try to transplant it to other areas of the world, its fruit and leaves are toxic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot to learn.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it.
And I appreciate what you've been saying. I never met you before, but you know, I like to give credence to people who are saying things that are very accurate. You know, like the zodiac sign, those
right.
All those constellations, the formation of those shapes today is not the same as it was back during the time of the people who actually came up with those ideas.
Right.
And the names, when we talk about Virgo, we talk about Taurus,
right.
Aquarius. That ain't what those things was called.
No, they weren't. I'm going to get into that in a second.
Yeah. All right, I ain't going to cut off your show. I'm just wanting to throw that in there, man. My time clock is messed up from all that traveling. I just got back last night. But
appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you coming on and sharing that wisdom with us, though.
Yes, sir.
All right. And like the brother was talking about, let's look at it. Like he said, those were not the names. But we know, like, for example, what we have within the Greek terminology for these particular signs, Aries actually is Amen. Amen symbol actually was a ram. And so, therefore, Aries is a ram. So, therefore, that's the connection. We also have Apis, you know, in which that is the bull, you know, which is Taurus. You know, Apis is known as the bull of all saw. You know, so, you know, you have Amen, Apis, and then, you know, Gemini, of course, is, you know, all saw and all set, but it becomes all saw and set, or Heruin set, based on the battle in which that took place between them. You know, but originally it was male and female, which is all saw and all set, but it became two males based on the Greeks' patriarchal, you know, society structure. As well as also their demeaning of the female aspect, you know, because they practice homosexuality.
Wow.
You know, and that's also with the symbol of the cross, you know, even though the cross was seen in other cultures, but it became predominant within the Greek culture, in which that the Greco-Romans took it within the patriarchal structure known as the Vatican, in which that it became the symbol for Jesus Christ. But the cross symbolizes actually two phalluses or two penises. You know, the adult penis and the child penis as it meets, you know, in the center. And was that actually with the symbol of homosexuality in that regard,
right.
Based on the linear aspects of the Greeks, not understanding that the four points actually symbolize within our culture the four seasons, the four elements, the four sons of Heru, also Somali too, the cardinal points, the mutable points, and the fixable points of the zodiac, or Mother Zodiacus, or what is known as Mesaroth, within al-Islam, you know, which is actually one of the chapters named in the Holy Quran, which means the, you know, which talking about the group, or the gathering of the stars, or the constellations. So, you know, this is where, you know, this information comes from. So, we got, you know, Aries is Atum, is Amen, excuse me. The bull, which is Taurus, is Apis.
Apis.
Gemini
okay.
is, like I said, also an Osset, you know, originally, but then it became Heru and Set based on the battle in which that they had, so that's how it became within the Greek culture, the two males. And then, of course, you have Cancer, which actually is Kepra, which actually is the dung beetle.
The what now?
The Kepra, which is the dung beetle. That is actually Capricorn. I mean, I'm not Capricorn, but I'm Cancer.
Okay.
All right. Which is, you know, of course, Cancer is a crab, but in its original, just like the brother was talking about, originally, if you go to, now we get all this information from the temple walls of Dendera or Het Heru. If you go to Het Heru or Temple of Hathor, at the top of the ceiling, you'll see the zodiacal constellations known as the Dendera. And it is there that you'll find all these images or symbols of which I'm talking about. Like I said, Cancer originally was not a crab. It was the dung beetle known as Kepra, all right, in which that the dung beetle would actually roll up a ball of dirt, in which that when it's being pushed, it looks like the sun is being traveled across the sky, but it's on the ground. So people equated that to Kepra, to the sun, or a form of Ra, all right, or the moving force of Ra, all right, or what moved Ra through the sky. You know, in other words, there was a backing power to the movement of that appearance of the sun moving. Of course, we're moving at the same time as the sun is moving, and as a matter of fact, this corkscrew actually is not
you know, just rotation or circular. It's actually like a corkscrew way of us actually rotating through the solar system around the sun. And the sun and our solar system around the 12 zodiac signs plus one more, in which that actually, we'll get into that in a second. So then, of course, we have Leo, in which that is Atum. Atum symbol is a lion. Leo is a lion. So this is how we know who is who based on the symbols, you know. Then, of course, you have Virgo. Virgo is the virgin, in which that correlates to Orset, which is Mary. You know, her name, Orset Mary, M-E-R-I. Mary, of course, becomes Mary, the mother of God or Jesus within the Bible, and she was a virgin. So that actually symbolizes Virgo or Orset Mary. Then, of course, Libra is the scales of balance. And, of course, within ancient Kemetic teachings, that is Mayat. She also had the scales of balance, you know.
Virgo.
Right, Virgo. Mm-hmm.
Virgo is Orset.
Right, Virgo is Orset Mary. Right.
Okay.
And, of course, Mary becomes the Mother Mary within the Bible.
Right.
You know, of God, you know. And remember, the ninth month is September, which is Virgo, in which that the sun, like we said, goes back into Virgo the 9 months in order to become reborn from the Virgin, which is the sun, Heru, becoming reborn within the womb of Orset Mary, his mother. Okay, this is where you get the Black Madonna and Child from, you know, within the statues and the portraits around the world. Around in 200 countries, you'll find the Black Madonna Child statuettes or pictures, paintings. All right? Then you have Scorpio, which is the symbol of the scorpion, but you also had Sorket. Sorket symbol is a Scorpio. Or scorpion. All right. Seker is what is known as the Scorpion King. This is what the movie Scorpion King was based on, is Seker. Zeket is the feminine aspect of Seker. And this symbol was a scorpion. And of course, Scorpio has three symbols. Actually, has a scorpion, a snake, and an eagle.
Huh.
Okay. But there was also similar to Seker or Seket. All right. Then, of course, you have in between Sagittarius and Scorpio now, in which that's come into play is Imhotep, which is called Officius, which is the 13th zodiac sign now. But that is Officius. Officius is known as the serpent wrestler, symbolic to the Kundalini energy, in which that is the symbol of healing, or the Caduceus, or the Uraeus, or the Washet. You know, which that was developed by Imhotep, and now becomes the symbol on all of the medical hospitals around the country, and possibly around the world. You know, that symbol symbolizes the medical profession of healing. You know, hence doctors or Sanu within the ancient Kemetic tongue.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned that to Sanu. All right, doctors, healer, and of course you have Sagittarius, in which that is Shu. The symbol for Sagittarius, of course, is half, half animal and half man. But that actually is symbolic to Shu. Shu is the personification of air, and it's Shu in which that holds the physical structure of animal and man together. So Shu becomes that particular symbol. Or derivative of ancient Kemetic philosophy or Temerian philosophy. And, of course, then you have Capricorn. And Capricorn is, once again, the goat, but the goat was known as the goat of Mendez within ancient Kemet. And so the Mendez symbol is also a goat, as such as Capricorn is also a goat, the symbology. All right, and then, of course, you have Aquarius. Aquarius is the head of a man, is man, and within ancient Kemet, that was also a form of Heru. Heru represents the age in which that we are now going into. This is what also this particular winter solstice symbolized, is us going into the age of Heru, from out of the age of Pisces, in which that is the last one. And Pisces is the fish, and the fish within ancient Kemetic time was the crocodile, which is called Sebek. So these are actually the 12 names of the 12 zodiac signs and their original symbology or images in which that was utilized by the ancient Egyptians or Timurians or Kemetans or Kamau. So this is what we need to be teaching.
Right, right.
All right. So, and brother Pianchi got some other information there too. He got that Virgo is Neith, that Libra is also Heru Maku or Har Maku. Scorpio was also Set Serket or Serek. Yep, Sagittarius was Shu, as I stated, but he also has Entefnu. And Heru of the two is Capricorn, the goat-headed, and Minette became Aquarius. And he says, oops, and Heru of the two crocodiles is now Pisces. So he added some more information there. This is actually, you know, what is going on, you know, and we have to get back to this, you know, because like the brother said, the Kemetic calendar had 10 days of the week, and actually was more accurate than any calendars in which that we have today, you know. And, of course, this is where the Olmec Mayan calendar actually derived from. It's from that lineage of the Dogons, and like I said, the Dogons were the astrologers in ancient Kemet, and they left from out of Egypt around 8,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, right. And he also, Brother Pianchi also say that that's why our signs don't work. We are using someone else's stuff. Well, exactly. You know,
right.
So this is
right.
The point of us getting back into our own information so that everything can work for us because, as we know, you know, when you honor your mother and father, your days will be long upon the land.
Right.
So these are just some of the keys. You know what I mean?
So the we said that the Washita nation was here 100,000 years ago, right?
Right, over 100,000 years ago.
Over 100,000 years ago. So they know about the maize then.
Yes.
Right. How to grow maize.
Right.
Or taught the European how to grow maize.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Because they were seen as the Native Americans. Exactly. They were seen as the real or the original Native Americans. You know, the Native Americans which they show us, which are the Indians, didn't come, you know, until the 4th century A.D., you know, with the Chinese coming here, you know, and mixing in. And also those Orientals or Asians coming down from the Bering Strait, you know, from Alaska into North America, you know, or what is now known as Canada down into what is now known as the United States.
Right.
Right. So that's when that's how the mixing, but that happened mostly within the Western territories. If you get the southern, the eastern, and the northern portions near the Great Lakes, all of those people, all the Native American were dark-skinned people, none unlike the Ethiopians. In other words, they was Kushites.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And this is why you can get a magazine called the Nexus Magazine, in which that specifically speaks about, Hakeem Bey talked about it, that how the blacks ruled the South during the time of the Civil War.
You said the magazine called the Nexus.
Right, it's called Nexus, N-E-X-U-S, Nexus Magazine. It was in
is this something you order?
Yeah, you can order the magazine. You can actually pull it up online. But this was an issue from the 1990s, in which that Hakeem Bey spoke about, in which that in the issue, which I had the issue some years ago, but in the issue it spoke about how The blacks ruled the South.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Okay. Yeah, I'm learning something new.
Right.
I'm learning something new. Learning some new knowledge here, especially about the Zodiac being of Greek origin, the names anyway.
Right.
Being of Greek origin.
Right, the names that we use now is Greek, but it comes or is derived from the ancient Egyptian symbology. Like I said, on the temple walls of the Temple of Het-Heru, or what is known as the Temple of Hathor, the images of the Dendera. You can look up and you'll see the Zodiac played out there, and those images is actually where we get this information from.
I have to get literature on that Zodiac.
Right.
That's what a lot of us not working for us.
Right. There's a good book in which that you can get on which that helps explain it. It's called The Nile Valley Contribution to Civilization by Anthony T. Broder.
Okay.
The Nile Valley Contribution to Civilization by Anthony T. Broder.
And it had that in there?
Yep, it had that in there.
Okay. I remember that. Because I'm familiar with Anthony Broder.
Right. Exactly.
Wow.
So check that out. That information is up in there. Yep. Also, Pianke put within the chat room that in 2 Kings 19:35, it talks about the Assyrian being defeated by the angel of the Lord, and the battle was won by the Cushites, led by Sepku of the 25th dynasty.
Okay. All right.
So not necessarily the angel of the Lord, but yes, the angel of the Lord, who was actually Sebetku. Which was the Cushite leader of the 25th dynasty. And even Pianke, which the brother name who was just on, actually is mentioned in the Bible too, as being, is also mentioned in the scriptures. You know, so coming from around that same time period, you know, of the 25th dynasty. So this is what people don't understand, is that the scriptures actually are a summary of our ancient philosophy coming from the book of Pirhim-Heru, which anyone would tell you that is the truth. If you go and read Wallace Budge's books, E.A. Wallace Budge's books, he'll tell you within his books that the Bible itself is derived from the Pirhim-Heru text. Dr. Ben Yakinen, within his Black Man of the Now, he has it in that book. He also has it within the Western origin of African religion. He has it within that book, Dr. Ben does, as well as also within another book, We the Black Jews. So you'll see it in there, as well as also you'll see the information within the Egyptian yoga, but like I said, by Dr. Martha Ashby, is within the Nile Valley Contribution by Anthony T. Broder, is within Man, God, and Civilization by John G. Jackson, you know. So the information is there. It's there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got that book. I haven't read it yet.
Which
Man,
one?
God, and Civilization.
Yeah. Pick that up. That gets into it. Also, the World 16 Crucified Saviors by Kersey Graves. He speaks about December the 25th and how many of these particular deities within these particular religions or prophets are actually based on, their birthdays are actually based on the 25th day of December. You know, so not just Jesus, but Buddha, Zoroaster, Heru, Mithra, you know, and the list goes on and on and on. You know, this is what Lisa said as far as in research and study. Like I said, you read the 16 Crucified Saviors. People say that some of that information is inaccurate. However, we're not talking about, you know, the literal aspect. We're talking about the symbology. What is the stories? When you read these particular stories, how do these stories relate? And what are the, you know, if you do a comparative religious study, how do these stories relate to each other? You know, do it sound like this familiarity within these stories? Like, for example, I'll give you a good example. In the Egyptian story of the two brothers, it speaks about also within the story of the two brothers, it is directly connected to the story of Joseph in the Bible. You know, the story of Imhotep, you know, in which that the story of the two brothers possibly was talking about Imhotep and the king at the time was King Djoser, you know, and Imhotep was his prime visor or his prime minister who was right next in line to the king. And it is stated that that one of the king's wives came on to Imhotep, and Imhotep turned her down. Well, that same story is told within your Bible in the book of in the Old Testament about Joseph, who becomes the next in command, the prime visor, next to the Pharaoh of Egypt, you know, and whose wife comes on to him, you know, and he denies her. So the exact same story is being told over and over again, you know, thousands of years apart, because this was during the, you know, Imhotep and Djoser was during the third dynasty,
right?
You know, of ancient Egypt, or the dynastic period.
Well, I don't see how some people can say a lot of it is inaccurate,
right?
When proof is in the pudding, right there.
Right.
How
right.
accurate it actually is.
Right.
You know, so. same as the Kwanzaa.
Right, I can give you plenty of more examples. I give you one more example. But go ahead, finish up about the Kwanzaa thing.
Yeah, the Kwanzaa.
Mm-hmm.
As brother said earlier about the people have the right to create, you know, make up what they want, make up whatever. And that's true. Right. That's so true. You know, but my thing is the validity of it.
Right.
That's what I have a problem with, you know, and especially when you said earlier, Malala Karenga used it as a political move.
Right.
And people were duped, and which they were.
Well, right. Well, the thing was is that if we wouldn't, you know, the thing is that a lot of information is now coming out, has been out concerning the whole thing. And, you know, like we were saying, the principles themselves are good principles. We should, you know, rally behind those particular principles: self-determination, unity, creativity. I mean, these are some, you know, these, you know, fall up under, you know, the laws of Mayotte, you know, with the, you know, cardinal virtues.
Right.
You know, I mean, right. So we should, you know, definitely take a hold of that and promote that, you know.
Right.
But, you know, we also need to invoke, you know, beyond the two maize or two coins, you know, which that symbolizes life, you know what I'm saying, or fruit, you know, like we said, we should also become more, I guess you can say, even though it's a non-religious thing, but when we're doing the celebration, actually is turned into a religion in a sense.
Right.
If you understand what I'm saying.
Right.
You know, so, you know, it has to be, you know, at these celebrations, it just have to be clear on, you know, on what we're doing, that we put forth the energy for the, you know, for the year to come, you know, as we go into the spring, which is 3 months later, you know, when we begin to start growing our crops again, so that we can harvest them, you know, 6 months later, you know, in September, you know, during that time period, you know, of Virgo, you know, when that is actually harvest time for us here, you know, within America, you know, or within the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
So, you know, it just have to, you know, if it was broken down, you know, in those particular, you know, in that particular regard, then, you know, it shouldn't be a problem.
Right. Okay.
You know, but also, Sister she wrote that check the book out on the sidereal calendar by the Dogon Ascended Master, Brother Naba Lamosa. Said check that out.
Okay. Just Sister Roz?
No, Oz. Sister Oz. I call her Sister Oz.
Oh, okay.
So Gem Moss Oz, but I just say Sister Oz. But she said check the book out on the sidereal calendar by the Dogon Ascent, the master, Naba Lamosa.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the silical calendar, that's, I guess that's the name, the silical calendar.
Right.
Sidereal calendar. Mm-hmm.
All right, will do.
Right.
Yes, sir. So, so you what you're saying is that we should just discount Kwanzaa altogether like that.
No.
We should still hold it.
Right.
As an authentic.
Right. Well, I mean, it's authentic as we make it, but I think there's some things in which that we need to explain about it, concerning it, and, you know, instead of just going, you know, along with it and just doing it as if it's just another, religion or actually part of the culture.
Right.
I think that has to be developed more, you know. So that's what I'm saying, that has to be developed more for it. We can have clarity concerning the reason behind it, and also explaining the images and the symbology behind it. You know, and not, you know, just masking it, but actually getting down to the bottom of it. You know.
Okay.
You know, like I said, you know, the two ears of corn. You know, like I said, that is a fruit from North America, not, you know, from Africa. You know, and of course, the Egyptians would have known about it because they are temples, 18 temples, as a matter of fact, within the Grand Canyon in Arizona.
Right.
You know, in which that has been found hieroglyphics or the Metuneta of Ra, Osiris, which is Osar, Isis, which is Osset, and many other netters are mentioned on those particular walls. So Egypt in Africa was the throne, but they colonized the whole planet. You know, because you will find pyramids and mounds throughout the whole planet. And these things was designed and structured by the same people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. In which that, of course, if you read Herodotus, it specifically states within his teachings that Egypt, or the Egyptians, was a colony of the Ethiopians.
Right. I heard that. Right.
You know, right. So the Ethiopians were the Cushites. So these are Cushitic people, which that have gone through the world and built these particular pyramids and mounds.
Okay.
Okay. And also, Brother Pianchi asked the question. He said, right now in China, it is 4:47 p.m., Thursday afternoon. If Jesus was born on December 25th, then whose 25th was it? In other words... you see, so if you put a day on it, then that can be disputed as being, okay, well, it's the 26th for us in China. You know, it's the 25th for y'all, but it's the 26th for us.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's not the year. 2012 is the year 2013. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they 1 year ahead of us.
Okay.
You know.
Hmm.
You know, so... It's a lot of things to that, you know. That's why we just can't, you know, sit aside and, you know, let someone control our consciousness. We have
right.
to start controlling our own consciousness and asking questions. I mean, this
right.
is the time
going back
that
to that zodiac sign.
Right, that's the time that we're in. Is the age of Aquarius, which is the age of Heru. We're in the age of truth, in the age of knowing. And so now, being in the age of knowing, we have to ask questions in order to find out our true destiny and the sole purpose. You know, if we're just going to allow for somebody else to dictate to us what it is, then, I mean, we'll fall short every time. And actually, to me, anyone else controlling your mentality is detrimental to you as the user or as the bearer of that mind. You know, because the mind, as they say, is a terrible thing to waste.
Right.
All right? Mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
Right, right, right. Right.
All right.
Yes, sir. So, you know, that like you said, you and somebody else's thoughts, somebody else's spirituality.
Right.
Like John Henry Clark said, that we become a slave to someone else's spirituality.
Right. To their own, to somebody else's philosophy, to someone else's psychology, sociology, folk ways, mores.
So we are all jacked up.
Right.
Man. Still got a lot of work of studying to do.
Oh, well, it's all right. We all do. We all do.
But the next, this study, the inquiry called the Heru Age then.
Right. This is the Age of Heru. Exactly.
So that kind of eradicates a lot of your Christianity then.
Yeah, well, that's what is meant by the Jesus returned. Because remember, Jesus was a derivative from Heru. And if we're in the Age of Heru now, then this is the Age of Jesus returned. This is the 2,000-year return of Jesus, as the Christians was looking for.
As the Christians would say, the second coming.
Right, this is the second coming. Exactly.
Okay. The true second coming.
Right, because remember, Jesus, when he came supposedly 2,000 years ago, symbol was a fish. Well, whose symbol is a fish in the zodiac? That is Pisces.
Right.
And this is why the fish is seen twice when you go and see Peter and Andrew, and he told Peter and Andrew within the book of Matthew to cast down your nets, and I'm going to teach you how to become fishermen of men.
Okay.
You know, so
wow.
Peter and Andrew symbolize each one a fish apiece. And so to cast down your nets, become fishermen of men, it symbolize those two fishes, which is the Age of Pisces, the beginning of the Age of Pisces. This is why you go to Jesus when he was speaking with the disciples, and the disciples was asking, well, what will befall us in the last days? And you got, I think you can find this in, what book is it? I think it's in the book of Mark. I can't remember, but in one of the books, it's, Jesus is asked by the disciples about what would befall us in the last days. And he said, in the last days, you will know the time, because you will be able to follow the man into his house. And it's a man who has a pitcher of water.
You okay.
Know? Right. So who is the man who has a pitcher of water?
Right. Pitcher of water.
Right. Who has the pitcher of water? That is who? That is Aquarius.
Right. Aquarius.
Right. Aquarius has the pitcher of water. So why is this image given in the Bible?
So that shows the European scholars that wrote that Bible, they know pretty much about the zodiac and a lot of the comedic science as well.
Right. Right, but that information is not revealed unless you go through those various schools, such as Freemasonry, such as the Rosicrucian, or the Theosophical Society, or any of these particular so-called secret societies. You will not get this information.
Right. You're right about that.
You know, so therefore, you know, this is the reason for the difference. Matter of fact, it's in Luke 22:10. Anyone can go to Luke 22:10, and it says, as you enter the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water in his hands, follow him into his house. Now, there's 12 houses on the zodiac, as they say.
Wow. They're telling you right there.
And they're telling you to follow the man with the pitcher of water into his house.
Into his house, the house of right. Aquarius.
The house of Aquarius. Thank you. And that is the second coming. So hence the Age of Heru, which Jesus is symbolic to Heru. So go to Luke 22:10 and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir. I definitely will.
Right. So this is the nonsense in which that's being perpetrated against us, you know, is us not knowing who we are, you know. And therefore they're able to pull the wool over our eye. At least that's what they think. All right, let me go to the phone lines. I got another call here. I got
okay.
Eric Cole 757, you're on the line.
Peace, fam. This is Brother Sola Moon again, man. I got disconnected earlier. I got a little too excited and disconnected the line.
Okay, brother.
Peace. Hey, I was just trying to get some contact information. I ain't trying to tie people up, man, but I'm definitely looking forward to building with you, brother. You was the last little missing link to raising me up. So it's important that I build with you.
All right. The number is 252-257-358.
Hold on 1 second.
All right.
One more time. 252.
257-3588.
All right, I look forward to speaking with you, brother. I'm not trying to hold nobody else up. I just wanted to get back in and get that little piece from you.
All right, brother. Peace.
All right, brother. Peace.
Peace.
I'm going to bring you back on. Got another brother here. Area code 117. Area code 117. You on the line.
This is another sister. Peace,
oh,
God.
Sister, peace, peace.
Peace, peace, sister.
Peace, everybody. I just want to just make sure we do our announcements. We have a new website, which I'm so excited about. It's dralimlbay.com. We do a daily blog. Also, Aleem breaks down so many wonderful things in there. Also, too, family, if you're looking to get your credit back because your mom used it when you were infant, or most of us, allowed a friend to use it when we were in high school or college, and it's not where you want it to be, you can get a second SCN number. You can also find that information out on the website as well. So just wanted to just highlight some of the things. Aleem really goes in connecting pieces. So if you haven't gotten your cruise information, if you haven't gotten your ticket for the cruise, you have until March the 20th. Don't wait till the last minute. We are definitely going to see the Olmecan Pyramids during the best time of year, March the 21st through the 25th. So please, again, go to our website. It's dralimlbay.com. And great show, God.
Thank you, baby.
All right. Peace, Goddess.
Peace, God.
Peace. All right. We got area code 773. Area code 773, you're on the line.
Hey, how's it going?
Peace.
Yeah, I got a quick question regarding the pie. Now, I know everybody say the pie is corresponding to the like a wing disc, meaning like a state balance with a 3.14.
Right.
And, the 13 pieces of Osiris and the 14 pieces of Osiris.
Right.
Now I was doing some research. I was looking inside the Magus. Now, according to the Magus, the sun, I know everything is within and without, you know, so above, so below. Now, the sun, the tightness of the sun, the numerical value of it is 111. And the moon, intelligence of the moon, the numerical value of the moon is 3321. Now, I was thinking, like, okay, now, could you put it like 111, 1, and then 3321? Could that be like corresponding? You see what I'm saying? Like the balance? Is it two polarities?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? The 111 being intelligence of the sun, and then you got the 1 in
right.
the middle. Then you got the 3321, which is, you know, the moon, intelligence of the moon.
Right. You get that information from the Kabbalah?
Exactly.
Right. Well, you're getting it from the numerology from the Kabbalah, then definitely, because that was Moorish information, which that was left in the libraries when the Moors left Spain and actually parts of Europe 1492. Allegedly, they left around that time. I say allegedly because actually we never entered, you know, into Europe 1711 A.D. as they claim. I mean, we actually always been there. But that's the history in which they give us from 711 to 1492. And, of course, during that time, that's when Columbus sailed the ocean blue in order to fool us and actually spy on our other empire, which was here within the Americas.
Mm.
But what you were talking about, that connection is definitely real, you know what I'm saying, in which that you do more research, you will find out that, of course, there's seven phases of the moon, you know, you know, and based on the fact of the waning and the waxing, it gives you 14, you know what I'm saying? Seven phases going up, seven phases coming down, so hence 14, as in the 14 pieces of Osiris. And then, of course, the moon has the pull every 28 days on the woman menstrual cycle, in which that the moon also have to pull upon the earth, on the earthly waters of life. So not only waters of life within the woman, but also waters of life within the man, too. You know, because we all are 3/4 water, which is in the image of the planet Earth itself, too. So we know that the sun has a miraculous effect upon the planet. You know, it grows the the plants, the grass, the herbs, the weeds, whatever else in which that it grows, ourselves it also grow. There's a seasonal affliction disorder in which that if we don't get enough sunlight, we get ill and irritable and begin to develop diseases also. You know,
right,
so,
okay.
You know, so definitely when you're talking about these two lights, you're talking about the greater light and the lesser light. That's what it's
right.
known as.
Right.
And these two lights together is what actually the mystery school in Egypt, or what is called the Hakka, which is known as the ancient mysteries or the metaphysics, was based on from Tahuti, was based on the greater mysteries and the lesser mysteries, which actually
right.
was based on these two particular principles. This is why Tahuti is known as the moon god and Heru is known as the sun god. And these two forces when you look on the waters of ancient Egypt, you see Heru on one side and Tahuti on another side. But we, you know, as the humans are being initiated into the ancient mystery school by these two principles. In other words, by the sun and moon or the yin and yang. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
Right.
Right. So
well,
definitely.
I was noticing, like, as I'm becoming more aware, I mean, when I was young, I was like about 13, and I was passed on this book, The Magus. You ever heard of The Magus by Francis Barrett?
Right.
Right, I was passed on that book like about 13 or 14. That's when I started really getting in tune. But I actually noticed I was already in tune. I just had to remember, you know?
Right.
And it was like I was with the numeration with the sun, the 111, I was noticing like Oprah Winfrey, her satellite channel is 111. There's a lot of references and correspondence to the 111.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, and I was reading Mutwaka Ashby, Enlightenment book, and it's like the symbol for the Nethers is isn't it like a 111? It's like a 111.
Right. It looks right. Exactly. I know what you're talking about. It looked like a flag.
Right.
And it's three flags. Right. And so
exactly.
Yeah, it looks like 111. Exactly. I got you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm just becoming more aware of different things. You know, as I become more conscious. You know.
Oh yeah, that's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I appreciate y'all, brothers.
All right, appreciate you too, bro. Thank you for adding
in. Appreciate
it.
All right, peace, bro.
All right, well, we getting ready to head out, y'all. Appreciate you, brother L, for joining us once again, being my co-host.
No problem.
You know, we getting ready to go get on up out of here. Appreciate y'all for listening, and we're gonna be back at the regular time next week. We was just doing it for the I guess we had to end up doing it for the so-called holy days, you know, during this time period, you know. So we're going to be back on schedule hopefully next week. And we get ready to leave you with Outkast, E.T., Extraterrestrials.
What I say every day, the sunset just like clockwork, to put the Glock to work and putting bodies to stand still. Man, it kills me. Taking a life is like taking a shit. Hit or miss, niggas are playing guard, trying to rob and steal. That's why you gotta guard your grill like a barbecue, cause them harming you was just like honeybees swarming you. Vocally arming you with my responsibility, it's killing me. Bigger than all these niggas, see they fly. Taking a Steven Seagal and falling. Falling to the wayside when you try to call me. I fought them when we was little nappy headed niggas in the project. But now they carjacked, wait on income tax and unsafe sex. Sit yet, they tend to flex like solo for the Lolo. Smoke, same thing. No, not this time. Niggas around my way can rhyme. So fuck that country shit. We done a bunch of shit. And yes, you heard of this. Out of this world like E.G. Coming across your TV. Extraterrestrial. Straight from ATL. You know what I'm saying?
Out of this world. Are you there? Out of this world.
Taking advantage of this moment, cause there might not be another soon. Holding on to memories like roller coaster handlebars tightly, cause I'm slightly off my rocker. But to you, I may appear to be your average Joe, but little do you know that even Joe got problems that he got two jobs with. Floating in this game of life, despite how out of place you may feel in this race, or you just can't quit. ain't that a bitch that begin heat? I'm on the beat like cops. Only cultivate the stable dirt when I keep my drops. Don't concentrate in knocking other niggas out the box. Why? Cause in a sense, see we all be kinda fly. Just can't be scared to spread your wings. Head to better things. Maybe the mockingbird and nightingale they want to sing. Keeping this thing alive to the table's what we bring. We like hailstorms and blizzards in the middle of the spring. Extraterrestrial. Out of this world. Bang.
Out of this world.